Let's go to 1 Peter, first chapter. I don't know if I'm getting my thought across on the idea of change. You could boil it down probably in a few words and said, what you better not do is change. If you've got conviction from God, and he has led you and guided you and directed you to where you're at today, the thing you do not want to do is change. You don't have that privilege of changing by the word, by the spirit. But I'm trying to break it down by scripture, the word, loving it, hungering after it, letting him write upon the tables of our heart, the fleshly tables of our heart, writing that word, getting that word set into place whereby that you and I have something to stand with, and you and I have a power that we wouldn't have otherwise. We need that. The day we live in is an extremely changing age, and it is changing more now than probably any time I've looked at nearly in 39 years. And the devil is working harder, seemed like, than he's ever worked before, because he knows his end is near. And he is trying to drive everybody down, trying to get them to change and go back and do things that they shouldn't be doing. And he knows if he can begin to get a crack in the wall or an open place, Brother Egbert said different time when I was working with him, he said that if the devil can just get a piece of chewing gum in between the door and the door frame to get it open, he's got a place to start wedging further. And he can take that little bitty thing. And some people think, well, it's not really necessary that you preach on small things and little things, and that don't matter, but does it? If that would keep you out of heaven, is it important? You know, we think a great big old huge truck going down the street. Becky and I was on a run one time going back south somewhere. I don't remember where. We was in the east side of Texas about Longview and in through there. We pulled off to get fuel. And we made a mistake in somehow. Anyway, we went down to turn around and we saw a huge truck. Now, these tires on this truck was so tall that I could just about walk under the belly of this big old truck and never touch my head on anything. That'll give you an idea. It was big like a big mining truck or something like that. Had a huge bed on it, big old cab and huge tires. If something like that come rumbling down the road and I warned you to get out of the way, you think, boy, Brother Carl's doing a good job. He's warning me to get out of the way of that truck. But if a little old worm come crawling down the street, I said, you better watch that worm. You better be real careful. Or let's say a little snake. Let's not worry about a worm. Let's say a snake. Little old baby snake, not too awful long. You say, you better watch that snake. You say, well, I'm bigger than that snake. But that snake's poisonous. We had two young people in our congregation that they have killed several of them. Copperheads. Pygmy rattlers, right there in their yard. Sometimes they stomped them to death with their boots. Sometimes they shot them in the head with a gun. But those little snakes, if they would have bit Leon, or if they would have bit Christy, it would have been bad. And they're not very big. They're just little things. The devil works in little things. He works in big things, but he works in little things. And the way he works is he wants to change you from what you are now to something that you would not want to look at later. That's what he's after. All right, 1 Peter 1, 25. Said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of the Lord. Now then, I've always taken that a lot of times as meaning that it's going to go right on through the end of time. But as the Lord began to deal with me, I began to dig into something deeper and begin to see that it means a little bit more than just that. 5 and 18 of the good book of Matthew says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now then, the word of God is not going to change. It says here that one jot or one tittle, not even the smallest letter nor one stroke of a letter, not one dotting of an I or crossing of a T, will be dropped from the law. In other words, there's not going to be any change. Even the smallest point of the law is set in cement, so to speak, and it's going to stay that way all the way down to the end of time. It'll be something that you and I can stand on. It'll be something that we can use, that we can preach, that we can teach, that we can sing about, so to speak. It's something solid. It's something powerful. It's something glorious. But the smallest part of it is not going to change in any way. Somebody said, well, let's change this or let's change that. That's not going to change. It's going to be there for you and I till all be fulfilled, until it is all in force, accomplished, until its purpose is complete. The Lord is going to keep the word of God exactly like it is, in full force, and everything about it. All your convictions, all your understandings that come from the word of God, by the Spirit of God, they don't change. You and I might change, but it don't change. We might want to try to change it, but it don't change. It's still the same. It is solid in Christ. It is solid in a position that you and I cannot take and tamper and change it, because it's the word of God and it is Christ. And that is, it will not change for anybody or anything. Had a type of vision here sometime back, a couple of years ago maybe. And in this vision, I saw Christ. And he was standing there, and it had the word, said the word, right across his body, just kind of angled down. And I looked at that, and it didn't take long for me to get at least part of the message at that point he was trying to get to me. He is the word. And when you and I get to the end of life, at the end of every man's life is God in Christ. We're going to meet him. We're going to meet him just like he is. He's not going to change for you and I. It's not what you and I think that's going to count at the judgment. It's what Christ thinks and what he says. So consequently, you and I are going to have to deal with him. We can hide. We can run. We can do all kinds of things here. But once we step out from this body and step into eternity, we're stepping out on his area, his territory, his eternity, so to speak, and consequently he's in full charge of that at that point, and you and I will deal with him just as he is. And if we have backed up, if we have changed, I was praying one time for my daddy's family, and there's some good people in that family. My grandpa on daddy's side was a preacher, and I didn't know him very well because he died when I was about 10 or 11. Didn't get to be around him an overly lot, but I knew who Grandpa Schaefer was. And I was praying for those that are in my age bracket, a little younger and so forth, and begging the Lord to have mercy and deal with them and call after them and so forth. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, Lord, I'm sure glad I'm not the judge. How would you judge somebody? Here's people that some of them's good. In my mind thinking, some of them's not so good. Lord, how could I judge? I'm glad I'm not going to be the judge. And the Lord spoke to me when I was meditating and praying and thinking. He said, it's going to be according to the blood. If the blood's applied to the doorpost of their heart, if it's covered their sins. Listen, folks, when we get down to the judgment, people think, oh, it's going to be some kind. It will. He's going to have the goats on the left hand. He's going to have the sheep on the right hand. He's going to say, come unto one and depart from me unto the other. But the bottom line is, when we meet Christ, he's going to be the same one we've read about, we've heard about, we've sung about, and we've been taught about from a cradle up. It's going to be that same Jesus that we're going to meet. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Listen, folks, he don't change for anybody. He's the same. And the word is the same. It's not going to change. We can walk off. We can throw it away. We can tear up every Bible we can get our hands on. But it's still going to be the same word. And we're going to meet it at the judgment. We're going to have to deal with that one day. And you and I would be better off if we would have the blood applied to the doorpost of our heart. Do everything the Lord told us that he wants us to do. When we get there, then we'll be accepted. But if we don't, we won't be accepted. We're going to be, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. These things are not going to change. They're set all the way through. All right, let's tie it a little bit more. John 14. John 14 and I believe it's 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, I believe it says. Some of the greatest known scriptures, I guess, in the Bible is in the 14th chapter of John, the first few verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I said earlier, I am the Lord. I change not. Now Jesus is saying here, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is trying to get the thing shifted in their mind thinking from the God of old Israel to the New Testament grace period of Christ. He's trying to get the mindset, begin to bring it over from God totally to him, where it will be, they will be working from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, not just God only. He's trying to get this thing brought in. And then he said, my Father's house, there's many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. And he goes on down there, and he says, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas just saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? How's that going to be, Lord? He said, I am the way. Again, he's pointing it back to himself as the Redeemer, as the Savior, as the great I am that is in the New Testament time. He's bringing them, focusing them back to him. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. If you will follow me, Thomas, if you'll listen to me, Thomas, if you do what I tell you, Thomas, I can take you to heaven. This is going to take me to get you there, folks. We're not big enough to go to heaven by ourselves. It's going to take Jesus to get us there. If we were big enough to do it, we could have done it way back. But when I got to the place under conviction and under the workings of the Spirit of God, I found out I was nothing. I needed somebody big enough to take Carl and take him and change him and make somebody different out of him. And he done that. But I had to give myself to him to get that accomplished. I am the way. I'm going to tell you, Jesus knows how to get us to heaven, and he knows better than anybody else. He is the way to heaven. He is the way to eternal life. He is the way to a closer walk with God. He is the way to show us more power and more glory. He is the way to help us when we get into battles and so forth. He is the way to guide our life every way, every day. He's the one that can do that. We can't do it. I've not been able to. I make blunders enough trying to follow the Lord. Without trying to do it on my own. And you're going to make blunders too. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. In Hebrews 13:8, he says there, he said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. again, I'm trying to cement down. Again, I don't know if I'm getting my message across. But the bottom line is, he's the same also. He's not going to change. He's the way to get us to heaven. He's the only way to get us to heaven. If we don't follow him, if we don't do the things he tells us to do, we're going to get ourselves into some kind of mess. And I guarantee it'll be a big one when we get through with it too. Man is not capable of getting to heaven by himself. He's not capable of living for God by himself. Jesus said, I am able to help you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the one that is able to get you there, and I am the same that you can stand on, that you can rely on, but I'm also the same word. I'm the same power. I'm the same glory, and I'm not going to change, children. I'm going to be that same one all the time. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now you look back. There has been truths that have been passed down to us for many years. Under the old law and under old Israel, they didn't have Bibles. They had scrolls. And so consequently, if I understood it right, they didn't have scrolls that everybody had in their house. These things were passed down. They were read in the temple, and they were given to them that way. Something like we do today. But you and I have a Bible we can take home. Maybe several Bibles we have in our home. I've got 6. I don't know how many Bibles I got. 10, 12, I don't know. I've got a number of Bibles. And I've got those. I've had them given to me. I've bought them. Different things. And these are valuable to me. It's the Word of God. It is something special to my heart. It's something I've given my life for 39 years now, nearly. And consequently, it is valuable to me. Well, Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the same. Think about that now. Think about that. I am the same. I'm not going to change. There's no change in me. I am that was back there from the foundation of the world. I helped create the world. I am the one that had given these doctrines and give these truths down to your ministers and your people. Listen, folks, if we didn't have any preachers, if it was just all a group of saints of God, he would still give to the saints of God the very same truths that he's given to the minister to teach them to you all down through the life. He don't have to have us. But he uses ministered by the foolishness of preaching. But he takes and he reveals, he opens up, he teaches by conviction and understanding the very same thing to everybody that is willing to follow the way, the truth, and the life. He does that. And he's going to continue to do it. He done it back here. He's doing it now. And he's going to do it to the end of time. And consequently, if we follow him and every one of us do the very same thing, we're going to end up walking the very same way. We'll all have the same truth. What is it? You've seen them come over here from Africa, India. And you've seen them get into pulpits and preach the same truths that we have. Now, Brother Ed hadn't gone to India and spent all of his life over there teaching them that. Brother Carver didn't go to Africa. Brother Michael hadn't gone to Africa and spent all that time. Where did they get that truth? They got it from God. They got it from the same individual that taught you and I. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That God that wants everybody to live the very same way, a life of holiness, a life of power, and a life of glory. He wants that, he desires that, and he's going to have that, or he's not going to have you. So Lord, help us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm eternal life. I'm the way to heaven. I am the truth. I am the truth, and I'm going to teach that truth to every individual. Another message the Lord gave me recently was convictions. And in that, I was teaching that we need to get our own convictions from God. Now, I want us to listen to the ministers, but a minister can't totally, in a way he can't, go and cover a whole subject in 1 hour. There's no way to do it. And you hear us preach Sunday after Sunday, meeting after meeting, and so forth. What is really valuable is not to go home and say, well, I'm what I am because of Brother Ed Wilson. Well, he's helped you a lot. There's no doubt. But what you are comes from Jesus, and you need to go home and you need to pray, you need to study, you need to fast, you need to look to God and say, Lord, I want that conviction. I want exactly what you want me to have. And if you'll give me that conviction, Lord, I'm going to live that conviction, live or die. That's what we need, Holy Ghost convictions. Convictions that, like I mentioned, that girl in the Columbine school, evidently she had some kind of conviction or grace or faith or something because she let that man know, I'm not giving up what I got. I'm going to stand here. If you kill me, it's a quick way to heaven. If you don't kill me, I'm going to stay here with mom and daddy and the family. But he chose to kill her. We need conviction, not because grandma's taught it, grandpa's taught it, mom and daddy's taught it, the pastor's taught it, the teacher's taught it, or my brothers and sisters have taught it. I need convictions because I've got them from God. Because listen, folks, if we just go, well, mama taught this, or the pastor taught that, or daddy taught this, the bottom line is the devil's smarter than that, and he can talk you out of that kind of conviction. But if you get it from God, and the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and you get that conviction settled deep in your soul, listen, the devil can come along every day, and you're not going to go changing on your convictions. You're going to stand. Because you can say, Lord, I mean devil, the Lord give me this. I have a conviction that there is a church of God that is holy and righteous and godly, and this is why I got it. And it says right here in the Word of God. And I've got a conviction on divine healing, and this is why I got it, because the Lord gave it to me. And this is the Word of God that He gave it to me on. There has been saints and ministers that literally spent hours and days and weeks and may, well, basically a lifetime learning the and getting their conviction from God. I've heard other ministers say that they were up to 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning studying and praying and begging God to give me something solid that I can have something that would carry me through. And they would feed them over and over and get them settling convictions. And then when they went out in the field or went out in the pastoralship and they hit the hard places, they still had something good to stand on. We need Holy Ghost convictions. We need God. And we need to be just like the Lord by His grace. Lord, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change and back up and put down and throw it in the trash can. I'm going to be one that stands on the Word of God and let that Word be read through me day after day, week after week, month after month. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. You pray. We appreciate your time and attention tonight. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even the Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation, good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now he says here, he said, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Be unchangeable. I read about a battle, an army, that was going up and making an approach in a battle. They had a standard bearer. And they were coming in and they were trying to make victory and get victory and so forth, but they were getting shot up pretty bad. The battle wasn't going well and they were getting into trouble, so to speak. And the commander said, why don't we drop back? Why don't we this or that? And the standard bearer said, no. Said, don't you drop back. Come forward. Hold on. Keep your position. Don't go back. He made that bold stand. It rallied the troops, and it inspired them, and they took off, and they kept shooting, and they kept fighting until they won the battle. But it wasn't the commander there in that particular case, but it was the standard bearer. That one that inspired them to keep going. Stand fast. When everything else is going down, stand. When everything is flaming around you, stand. When everybody is dropping back and running, stand. Because if you stand, you may be the very one that inspired people to turn around and come back. Praise God. Don't run. Don't go backwards. Go forward. Stand firm. Stand solid. Stand for the truth. Stand in every way that God wants you to do. Don't go running the other way, but stand. Brother Hargrave said one time, he thought he was in a battle, and he thought several people, quite a few people was backing him up. And he said he turned around one day and he got to looking. And he said everybody was running. He was the only one standing there. They'd all forsook him. Well, Lord help you and I to stand solid. When our brethren needs us, stand fast. And hold the traditions which you've been taught. If you're on your sick bed, I don't know how many of you have been at the point of death. Brother Ed said he had. I have been extremely low. And there have been others possibly in this room that have been close to death. And when you get that and you call for prayer, you don't want somebody come walking in and say, well, Brother Carl, the Lord not healing today. He can't help you today. Might as well just pack our bags and go to the hospital because God can't help us anymore. You wouldn't want that, would you? Not if you're wanting to trust God. You want somebody to come in there. And you want them to come in there with authority, with grace, with power, and let them know God is in the healing business. Now, I've gone in to see Brother Vader many times. I've gone in to see him and Sister Carrie many times. Of course, Sister Carol has been there about all the time lately. And gone in there to see them and spend time with them. And when I walk out, he's usually the one encouraging me. I don't have to tell him nothing. He's quoting scripture. His mind's still sharp, folks. He may be getting close to the end of the way, but he can still quote scriptures and challenge me and stir me. And he's just standing solid just like he has all these years. Still the same Brother Beta. Still the same brother that's been that standard bearer for, 60 years or so, 70, whatever. He's still the same one. He's still encouraging me. But I go there to encourage him. I go there to help him out. That's what every one of us need to be. When we go in to help somebody, we need to go in with a solid Holy Ghost stand, conviction stand, and say, brother, sister, the Lord loves you, and he's able to heal your body, encourage your heart, inspire you, whatever you need. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's going to get us through this with victory. Hold the traditions which you've been taught. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught. The commentators say here, the word traditions here also stands for doctrines. Hold the doctrines. Stand fast, hold the doctrines which you've been taught. Could we say that tonight? Every one of us individually? The Holy Ghost convictions that God has given us, are we still standing just like we've stood for the last however long? Weeks, years, months, whatever? Are we still on those same convictions that God has blessed us with? Led us and guided us and directed us? Are we still standing fast? The devil is working so hard to tear everybody down he can. And the Lord is saying, stand fast and hold those same traditions, those same doctrines, those same teachings that you've been taught either by word or by letter. or by individual God is teaching you that, stand fast and hold those firmly. Don't let them go. They're valuable. When you get down to the end of life, and we're fixing to meet God, the Bible, the traditions, the doctrines, those things that have been very good to us down through the years, is going to be extremely valuable to you and I at the end of life. And I tell you why. Because the devil ain't going to roll over and play dead when you're fixing to die. He's going to attack you right to the end. He's going to work hard to get you some way, somehow. He's not happy you got saved. He's not happy you've lived for God. And he's not happy you're going to heaven. And he's going to try to stop it if he can. So consequently, you need to stand fast and hold them solid. Something valuable, something powerful, something glorious. Hold on to it. Don't let it move. Don't you move. Stand for the same thing you've been standing all down through life, praise God. Don't let the devil get you off one iota in any way. Hold fast. Stand firm. Because that's what's going to get us through at the end. That's what's going to help us. That's what's going to encourage us. I was in there the other day. And Brother Veda let me know. He's quoting me scriptures. Matter of fact, I'll just give you a scripture that he quoted me. It's Psalms 41. I believe it is. Let me see here. 40 or 41. Oh, it's the one there. Okay, it's 41. Blessed is he that considereth the poor of the Lord, will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him, keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, and thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, and heal my soul, heal my body. Now then, Brother Veda said two things that were surprising to him. Number one, he was still alive. I know you grandchildren are going to love that statement. He said, I'm surprised, brother. I'm still alive, Brother Carl. And he said then, the next thing was, he said, the Lord has made his bed with me and helped me and held me and worked with me and blessed him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sister Ruth McMakin, before she died, she fell quite a lot. And one of the greatest things was that there was angels camping on that hill, as they call it, and she never did break one bone. That was a miracle. There's angels on that hill with the Golden Rule home. And those angels are helping out the old-time saints and the younger saints, whatever, whoever's there, the older saints, because there ain't too many young ones around there. We're all living everywhere else. But he's there, see? He's there to help them. And Brother Vader said, he's right there. He's just strengthening me and helping me. Oh, he was having a blessed day. Well, the reason is because the Lord has given him things and he's still standing on those very things. He's getting close to the end, see. But what has held him, encouraged him, and strengthened him down through the years is what's still strengthening him right down at nearly death's door. 22 and 28 of Proverbs. Remove not the ancient landmark, which thy fathers have set. Remove not. Now, landmark is something that is set up to be a, I don't want to say it, to run from or work from. I don't believe they had a whole lot of fences back there, if they had any. And so consequently, they had a landmark, and over here is my line, and over here is Brother Mike's line, and our land, mine over here, his over here. And that determines where the end of that quarter is, see. So a landmark, or a stake, that is set in place today by surveyors is very, very valuable. And
People don't want to mess with that. There's people gotten killed because people dabble with things like that. Somebody testified in our service the other night up in Indiana. A dude where somebody got upset because somebody moved the line and he went over there and literally killed that man and chopped him to pieces. It's dangerous to move those lines, see. Say, well, ain't no problem. I just move landmarks around like I want to. No, you can't. You might come up face to face with a 45. You might have a 30-06 poked in your back. We had a man that is running for office down in the Shawnee area, Pottawatomie County, and him and his neighbors had a land dispute for years. And this man cut the fence and went on that property, and that man came over there and gunshot his tire out to start with. See, this is over land, see? The marks, they're wanting to move the landmarks around. They're wanting to move the fences around. They're wanting more property. And the man over here says, you ain't going to get my property. Leave it alone. That's mine, see? That's my property. Don't touch it. I paid for it. It belongs to me and the bank. And you're not going to do anything with that property. Don't touch that. It's serious. It was serious in the old time. When this Bible was written, it was extremely serious back there in ancient times. If you move that, you can mess up a whole string of things, especially today. They've got to have something to work from. So consequently, if things have been moved around, they've got to keep going back till they know exactly something is absolute and sure, and they've got to pull off of that line and keep working with it. And they've got to come to there. They've got to set everything again. When we had our surveying done on our property, the church, we thought everything was just set. They was fixing to give us a permit to build with. And the city engineer discovered that we were in a flood zone. And so I walked in there and Mike Cox, the head honcho city inspector, he said, Carl, did you know that you're in a flood zone? I looked at him, I said, no. Nobody's told me a thing. He didn't even catch it himself. The city inspector happened to, our city engineer happened to catch it. And John Kyraki, however you pronounce his last name, he said, Mike, he said, this is going to have to be done different. He said, we just can't do it this way. It's got to be totally different. So from that point, I said, what do we do now? So Mr. Cox and Mr. John, they proceed to tell me what to do next. And one of them is we had to get an engineering firm to help us. And there had to be things established and set so that we could work with that. And that engineer, he had to tell me exactly what he wanted. And I had to go by that. I had to build by that. I had to pour my floor and everything, my stem wall, everything had to be according to that. And he and I come to a balanced what he wanted, and then I had to take the, and everything had to work off of that exactly. But anyway, what I was getting to is there was a surveying firm that had done the surveying on that property a number of years before. And this last surveyor told me, said that man was extremely accurate. Said he was a good surveyor. He's a good surveyor. Listen, those lines were real close. I guess right on it. They just pulled them and checked them and run them, and they had up-to-date, sophisticated stuff. I guess I'd never seen them doing this, they doing that, and I was watching them in amazement. And said, this is good. This is good. This is good. Well, that sounded good to me. Sounded good to me. Well, listen, folks, the one that has run these landmarks for years is a perfect surveyor. Yes, he is. He's absolutely perfect. There's not one fault in Jesus Christ or God, the Holy Ghost. They're perfect. And they have set the landmarks perfect. And if you and I will work by those landmarks and stay with those landmarks and don't move those landmarks, you and I will be fine. But if we go to tampering with them, we're going to get into trouble. Number one, these are eternal landmarks. Number two, we didn't set them. Number three, this belongs to God. So consequently, he's the only one that can do it and do it right. And if you and I try to do it in our wisdom, we're going to mess things up good every time.
going to mess it up. So you and I don't want to go and try to mess with these landmarks because we didn't have nothing to do with it in the beginning. He's way older than we are. He's got more wisdom than we've got. He's got more power than we've got. And he set these landmarks perfect to start with. And he has passed those down from generation to generation. And he's still passed them down. And they're still set just like they were. And these landmarks are solid. They're absolute. We can work with them. We can stand on them. We can pull from them. But listen, folks, if anybody goes to differing off of that, he's going to cause trouble. So Lord, help us to stay by the landmark that God has set. God has spent hours, years, setting these things. And what I mean by that is he has gone minister to minister, saint to saint, and he's established these things perfect. And he has worked with them. And he's got them set, and he doesn't want you and I to mess with those. Try to change them. We don't know what we're doing. We never have. We never will. If we go to tampering with them, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. We'll get other people into trouble. And the bottom line is, when somebody is wanting to get saved or wanting help or wanting encouragement or wanting strength, and they've known the landmarks, they've known the truth down through the years, and maybe they've been out in sin, and they're coming back, and they want some help. And they say, well, I want to pull right here. I want this, and I need that. And they're working with that, and so forth. And if we come and say, no, that's changed. You know what that'll do to them? See, this is eternal now. This is not just natural. This is eternal. And that man said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to work with us and so forth and to help us. But if we go, no, that don't mean that anymore. Say, repent ye and be baptized. No, that don't mean that neither. He's going to look at you cross-eyed. What do you mean? That's a landmark that I've been told all of my childhood. And I've gone out in sin and I'm in trouble now and I want to get saved. And you're telling me that don't mean that? I'm going to tell you, confusion and all kind of problems can start happening from that. Because they started trying to move things, see. Now, if I met him at the altar, and he started quoting and telling me, Mama taught me this, Daddy taught me this. You remember that old brother Wilson? You know, the one way back yonder at Shawnee? You know how he taught that? He started quoting them things and tell me that. And I'm down there with him. I'm crying with him. I'm working with him. And I say, brother, those landmarks are still the same that they've been all those years are still there. And you and I can pull off of them and work with them. He's going to get saved, bless your heart, and be rejoicing and go his way. But if I go to confusing him and telling him, no, that ain't what that meant. Oh, brother Wilson, he was wrong. Oh, brother Hostis, he was wrong. Brother Clifford, he was wrong. I'm going to tell you, that's going to cause all kind of problems. Don't mess with those landmarks. Don't touch them. Don't dabble with them. Just live by them. What God has given is eternal, strong, powerful, and glorious. And we don't want to mess with something that will help us spiritually. So don't mess with the landmarks. Don't change the landmarks. Don't even attempt to. Just live by them. The only change that you need to make with a landmark is a change that the Lord has moving you up closer to God. And you get a deeper understanding on the same landmark. And you say, thank you, Lord, I'm going to live just like I've lived all these years. I got more light and understanding than I've ever had. And I'm staying right by that same landmark. Praise God. God's got a lot of time in this, folks. He didn't build this church yesterday. He didn't establish this thing yesterday. He's got years in this, and he doesn't want you and I changing it, dabbling with it. He wants us to leave it like it is, and you and I change the way he wants us to change to a closer walk with God. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Don't move it. That is the eternal word of God saying, remove not
the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. The Father of fathers is the great God. His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're the ones that started it. They're the ones that passed it down. They're the ones that has helped you and I. Let's not mess with those landmarks. All right, let's go to Luke 11 and 28. Luke 11 and 28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. John 8 and 30. John 8 and 30. Some familiar reading. And he spake these, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How saith thou, you shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sins, the servant of sin, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my words, then are you my disciples. Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God, that hear that word and keep it. Hear that word and keep it. Now, I could be wrong, but I imagine every person in here likes to be blessed. Every person in here likes to have glory. Every person in here likes the Lord to help them as they travel up the King's Highway. Well, to get that, we're going to have to keep the word of God. Matthew 19, 17. And he said unto them, why callest thou me good? Well, let's go 16. Behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life, that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now then, the word of God doesn't change. Christ doesn't change. Again, this is another way of saying it, but keep the commandments. Keep the word. If we're going to get to heaven, if we're going to be blessed, if we're going to know more truth, if we're going to have more power, if we're going to be exactly what the Lord wants us to be, we're going to have to keep the word of God. You should know the truth. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. What is that saying to you? If you continue in my word, that's not saying you do your own thing. That's saying, if you continue in my word. He said it to those Jews which believed on him. Now see, here's the thing. The Jews wanted to do all kinds of different things, and they had been steeped in this, that they were the people of God, and they had all these ordinances and laws that had been given to them down through the years. And so consequently, it was hard for God or Christ to deal with them. And they mocked him and they ridiculed him and they challenged him and they done all kinds of things to Christ. The Lord said, if you want to be my children, you continue in my word. Again, he's pulling them to him. He's getting them looking to him. He's getting them thinking about him. He's getting them to the place where he can deal with them and talk with them and love thy neighbor as thyself and all of that. Not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. He's pulling them toward him. But if you continue in my word, then you're going to be now my disciples. Continue in that. And then as you do that, then,
You should know the truth. The Lord's going to reveal it, help you to understand it, and that truth is going to help you by the grace and the power of God, going to make you totally free in every way. There is an instant freedom, but there is also somewhat of a continual freedom that we get as we walk in light and truth and understanding, God blessing and working, and us staying right by the truth that God has given us. There is something great about that. And he wants you to do that. You should know the truth. The most valuable thing is for Christ to teach the truth to you and I. Luke 11:28 of Luke again. Blessed are they which hear the word of God and keep it. Now people can say what they want to say about living the word of God and keeping the word of God and so forth. But I'm just giving you the word of God. He said here, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You're my disciples indeed if you continue in my word. Here's where the blessings are. If we continue and do, we get it and we stay in it. That's what he wants us to do. You have been around. Some of you have been around. And to be honest with it, I've watched you. You've watched me for years now. And it means something to get a report or to watch people, and they're the same year in and year out. There's no change. They're just solid, steady saints. Brother Mark says, steady as you go. They're just solid and steady. People I've watched for 39 years, they're still the same as they was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. They're still the same. And that's what the Lord wants, us to continue in the word of God. And be his disciples. Be the one that the Lord is calling us to be. Be the one that the Lord is working with. And he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I want to have eternal life, the rich young ruler said. And he said, there is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now then, if you're going to be saved, you've got to do what I tell you to do. If you're going to live for me, you've got to do what I tell you to do. And if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to do what I tell you to do. It's a threefold deal. You cannot just pick and choose what you want, but you've got to do exactly what the Lord is telling you to do. Don't change. When the devil gets to wanting to change something, send him a packet. Get out of here, devil. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Get on out of here. All right, let's go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For they shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? This is a stirring scripture. He said, meddle not with them that are given to change. Fear thou the Lord and the king. And he said, meddle not. Have no fellowship with them. I'm not saying you can't speak to them. I'm not saying you can't pray for them. I'm not saying that you can't love them. But when it gets down to it, those people that have changed, those people that are walking back of life, those people that are doing the things they shouldn't be doing, you and I cannot have fellowship with those people because they're not where they ought to be. Somebody said, well, no, you can't. When you get down to it, fellowship is by the Spirit of God. And if my spirit and his spirit is not the same, there's no way you and I can have fellowship. But if you've got the same spirit I do, you're walking in the same truth that I'm walking in and he's walking in and so forth, you have fellowship one with another. If we walk in the same light, we'll have fellowship one with another. But the bottom line is, if they're meddling, if they're changing, if they're going back, if they're building again the things they once destroyed, listen, folks, he said, meddle not with them that are given to change. You can't have communion with them, really. You can't fellowship with them, really. They might sit in our services. They might even shout, raise your hand. There's people doing that now. Amen. There are people hopping and jumping and shouting and carrying on in babbling. There's some of them not even saved. They don't even know what salvation is. There was a man that came along a few years ago. He made quite a splash for a while. And he walked away from the church. Went out, took disciples with him, went his way. He come into Oklahoma City. Got to hold a meeting. I believe it was the first time he'd come. And I thought about going. Hadn't seen him in a while. I thought, well, I'll just go over there. I was cleaning the house. I can take you to the very room I was in. I can take you to the very table. And Gigi and Clyde still are. I can take you right there. I was dusting the lamp over the dining table. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, would you go to Babylon, Carl? Child, son? I said, no, sir. He said, you're not the one there anymore. God himself turned that man Babylon. Confusion. He had walked away. Anytime people start messing and backing up and changing and meddling with change and so forth, I guarantee if you look at it all the way back and follow that route, when people start doing that, it not only changes a little bit, but it changes a whole bunch over a period of time. We were in Anderson several years ago. Rebecca and I was up there, and Rebecca has a cousin that worked at that time. He'd been in the Anderson Church of God for many years, and she wanted to go by and see him. I'd never met Lovell. So we went by, and he had no idea we was even in the countryside. We went to the print shop there. We went on the grounds there, the college, the Anderson College, right there in Anderson, Indiana. And let me tell you something, saints. You would have never known they were a holiness group. In that period of time, that was back in the 80s, so that would have been 70-something years, plus or minus a little bit, and they didn't look nothing holiness at all. They looked like the world. They looked like the world. The young people, the students, the professors, everybody, they just looked like the world. Oh, but we can do this. We just want to change on one point. Listen, folks, the devil's never satisfied with one point. He wants more than that. And he will have it too. Because when we start backing up, we begin to back up. We get out of the will of God. We start tampering with the landmarks. We're going to get ourselves trouble spiritually. And when we do that, then the devil's got free rein to start guiding us any way he wants to. I've read some of them old books. And when the spirit started backing down, they started making changes. They started bringing in this. That and changing here and changing there. Oh, Brother Carl, I'm telling you the truth, folks. I can show you the books. I can let you read them. They brought in, when they didn't have the spirit, they brought in the piano. When they didn't have the spirit, they started the choirs. When they didn't have the spirit, they done this and they done that. And I got to reading it and studying and looking at it. I thought, yeah, they were substituting because they did not have what they once had. They didn't have the power. They didn't have the glory. Have you ever heard the story or seen the pictures of the room that had the crutches, that had the cancers and the formaldehyde? You've heard of that, Brother Ed. You've probably seen the picture. This cousin of Rebecca's, I started quizzing him because I wanted to see that room. That man couldn't find the room. He didn't had never heard of the room. He knew nothing about the room. And I said, well, I've seen pictures of it, Lovell. I know it exists. It's supposed to be right here somewhere. He made calls. He done everything he could do.
He couldn't find it. That was between, at that time, if I remember right, Akron, Ohio, and Monarch. I went right to Monarch and found two brethren I knew that ought to know something about it. You know what they told me? They said, Brother Carl, they destroyed that room years ago. They dismantled it. You know why? Because there was people that come along and wanted to know, why don't we have this today? Why aren't people trusting God? Why aren't people getting healed? Why are we having people rising up out of wheelchairs and running down the aisle? Why are we having people getting healed of cancers and so forth, falling off and coming out and so forth? Why are we not having that? It was generating strife and questions and problems. So they just dismantled that room, got rid of it. They don't have the Spirit, see? And that causes things to change. It causes things to change, and that's what happened then. Meddle not with them that are given to change. Don't do that. All right, let's wind it on down. Deuteronomy 4:1. We'll be through in a little bit by the help of the Lord. 4:1 of Deuteronomy. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live and go in and possess a land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor, and all the men that followed Baal-peor. The Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. He said, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught. Now that come out of the Old Testament. You and I didn't write that. The Lord wrote that way back then. He was interested. Way back then, when he gave the Ten Commandments, he wanted those commandments kept. You shall have no other gods before thee. And all the different things that he gave, he wanted that followed. He didn't want people tampering with it, meddling with it, changing it in any way. He wanted it to stay the same because he gave that and he knew what was best for his people. Revelation 22:18. It said, and I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. Now this sounds pretty serious to me. God told old Israel, don't you do that kind of thing. And he's finishing up some of the very last scriptures he gives to you and I in the holy word of God. You better not change my word. Don't meddle with it. Don't change it. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Leave it alone. I wrote this word. Now, if you wrote laws, man's laws that they write, and I haven't studied too much on this, but according to the encyclopedia, you can change them. Man's laws can be changed. But God's laws can't. Man's laws can have flaws. Man's laws can cause problems. They bring up things that America can be just like the health care issue. There was a number of Americans, and the Senate and the Congress knew that when they was pushing for this thing, and they boldly went ahead and pushed it over, knowing there was hundreds of thousands of people against that law, or against what they were trying to do. Well, I don't know what they're going to do about it if this election goes like everybody says it might go. I don't know what they're going to do. But that thing is flawed. Everything I've read about, I've read thing after thing, and I got into it extremely deep, but I've read things and so forth, and it's already saying, coming out in the news and into the paper, this and this and this. I thought, yeah, that's why the American people didn't want it. We're We're not a bunch of stupid people. We were born.
I've told my daughter many times, girls, I wasn't born yesterday.
I've been around a little while. Wore my boots a little while. Brother Ed said one time, wore his spurs a little while. I've been in this way a while. I know a little thing. And so consequently, if the Congress and the President and the Senate and everybody, those lawmakers, if they think they can just shove something blindly down America's neck, they are wrong. They cannot do it and get away with it.
Well, you can change those laws. You can't change this law.
No.
Lord help us. Not even attempt to.
No.
If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. To me, that is a very serious scripture. That one in the woven bar. I testify or what? To every man that heareth the words of prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So the Lord is serious that you and I don't change the words of the word of God. The landmarks, the tradition, what God has laid down, God has done that. And for you and I to tamper with that is extremely serious. 12th chapter of John, in closing, 44th verse. 12 and 44 of St. John. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life, everlasting. Whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so speak I. He says here that the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The word, there is going to be a judge. But everybody down through the annals of time is going to be judged according to the light and understanding they have. If it's under the old time before the law, or if it's under the law, or if it's under the grace dispensation, God holds every man and woman responsible for what he has shown to them and dealt with them down through their life. If he never done anything with us would be one thing. But I'm convinced by the word of God that he will visit us at least one time and call us and convict us and stir us. And if we reject him that one time, he's not obligated again to ever come back and deal with our soul. He's given us a chance. We will be judged. If we stand there at the judgment, so to speak, if we, like that little dog that Brother Hargrave was talking about one time, and said there was a storm going on, a little old dog about so high. He said that dog was standing there, and he's up here, had his tail stuck out, and his back first in, he's just barking away at heaven. And Brother Hargrave looked at that and kind of amused him. He thought there's people doing that out there in sin and so forth. Well, we think we can get there and challenge God. But I got news for you. He will be the one that will have the last say. The word, the light, the understanding, and the spirit is going to be our judge. And where we rejected, where we turned down, where we backed up, that very spot is going to stand out big to us on that day. You say, well, it won't matter. Oh, yes, it will. It's going to be mighty big in our eyes because we will know. We will know on that day. There is people that I believe is in hell today, that rejected boy, and they're down there, and they had a chance in an old-time meeting somewhere, somehow, to get saved. And I, let me put it that way, and wonder if their minds don't come back to that very point, that very hour, that very moment when they rejected God the last time, they will come back to that point over and over in eternity. They're going to deal with it. I had a chance. The rich man did. In a sense, he did. Oh, Father, just give me a drop. I just need a drop of water. One drop, Lord. One drop. He knew, and every one of us will know, if we have backed up, changed what we were. Brother Egbert Allen was met some of the Anderson ministers one time, several years later, after the split. One of them was H.M. Riggle. And I believe one of the others was Warren. I don't remember which one, but I know one of them was Riggle. And Brother Egbert asked him point blank. He said, Brother Riggle. Yes, sir. He said, did you used to preach this and this and this and teach that? He didn't really want to say anything. His wife's down there. He said, yes, you did, dear. He didn't want to admit it. He knew he had changed. He knew he wasn't doing what he once did. And Brother Egbert pinned him to the ground. And his wife said, yes, sir, you did. She answered for him. We get to eternity, we're going to stand on our own two feet. The wife's not going to stand for us. The children's not going to stand for us. The pastor's not going to stand for us. We're going to stand. And we're going to face him. The end of every man's life is God. We're going to have to deal with him individually. And if we have given to change and backed up from where we were at, we're going to be in trouble on that day. I appreciate your time, your attention, your being so kind and generous to us today. We appreciate that.